All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the New Testament. That's the part of the Bible that's towards the back of your Bible. Yeah, you're welcome. Do what? You wondered what all that was? Yeah. Smart aleck. All right. 2 Peter. And I would like to begin reading, please, in verse 1, and I'll read down to verse 11. Down to verse 11, please. All right. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us, what's the next word? All things that pertain unto life. That's life. All right, life here and eternal life. So everything that is connected, that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, so verse 3 is basically telling us that the Lord has provided for us, because of our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything we need to live for God. Okay? When you get saved, I've said this to you many, many times in 25 years, but when you get saved, God does not lick your back, throw you against the wall, and hope you stick. All right? When you get saved, God gives you, it's at your fingertips, everything you need so that you, as a believer in Christ, can live for the Lord. You don't have to be a disaster. You don't have to be a spiritual disaster. All right? You have at your fingertips, you've got the Bible, and that Bible gives you all the information you need about how to live for the Lord. All right, let's go back now to verse 4. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, give, what's the next word? All diligence. Give all diligence. Well, what are we to give diligence to? Well, add to your faith. That's what we're to give diligence to. We are to add to our faith. And then he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, not just in you, but and abound, if they are in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, you'll see somebody come into church. They hadn't been in church in 20 years, and they'll come into church, and they'll sit and listen to the message. If they don't get up and walk out, they'll sit and listen to the message, and then the Holy Spirit will convict them, and down the aisle they'll come, and they'll sit down in the front row, and one of our soul winners will take the Bible and go through the plan of salvation, and they will look real puzzled, and they say, well, I've done that. Well, then why did you raise your hand that you need to be saved? Well, because for the last 20 years, you have not added to your faith. You've been out here running around with the world and not going to church and not growing and not taking advantage of all these things that the Lord has provided and made available to you so you could grow. And you've even forgotten that you were saved. You have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And so when you come, instead of you getting re-saved, no, you don't have to do that. If you were saved, you don't have to get re-saved. But we give you instead assurance of your faith. And we take you through the Bible and show you where your salvation is an everlasting salvation. All right, but if you don't add to your faith, then you will forget that you were even purged from your old sins. So verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, there it is again, to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And that doesn't mean fall from grace. That means you'll never get unfruitful again. You'll never get unfruitful in your Christian life. If you'll stay in the Word and stay in church and add to your faith, then you'll never get in that condition where you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Addition, our biggest problem. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I didn't have a problem with addition. I had 10 fingers and I had 10 toes. And so I could just, you know, I could add easy. What I had trouble with was that division stuff. You know, that was where I struggled a little bit. But I want to suggest to you this morning that spiritually speaking, division is not our problem. Oh my, I mean, you know, we divide all the time. We're good at dividing. Well, I don't like that. I'm leaving. And bang, out the door they go. Well, I didn't like what he said. Well, all right, division's not our problem. Our problem is addition. We have trouble adding to our faith. And because we don't have addition down, we don't know how to handle division. Does that make sense to you? But it's so true, isn't it? All right? Where's our elementary school teachers? Do you not teach addition first in school? You teach addition first. Why? Because everything depends upon you getting that addition down pat. All right? If you learn that addition, then when subtraction comes, it's not that big a problem. When multiplication comes, not that big a problem. When division then comes, it's not that big a problem. But you got to start on the right foundation. You got to know how to add. And I want to suggest to you this morning that addition is our biggest problem. All right, let's pray together and end the message. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we open the Word of God and preach from it today. And Father, I just pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and enable me to clearly think of of what I need to say, and help me to say it in the right way. And Father, I pray for our folks that you'll help them to listen and to understand every principle, every thought that that is given this morning. We certainly need to get back to the foundation and add to our faith. So, Father, bless the Word of God now this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was a kid, and I thought of this because of, you know, opening Christmas gifts with the kids. But when I was a child, my parents or somebody gave me a Lincoln log set. All right, you remember those? Yeah. Lincoln logs. And so I remember asking why they call them Lincoln logs. And, well, because Abraham Lincoln lived in a log cabin. And I said, well, that's not a good answer. But anyway, that's all they gave me. And so I went with it. But those Lincoln logs were, you know, you could make all kinds of different structures with those things. And as the years passed, I would get additional Lincoln logs the next year. And then I get more for my birthday. And then I get more for next Christmas. And it just kept on till I had, you know, this whole yard full of Lincoln logs, you know. And so I remember, you know, how easy it was to use those Lincoln logs. Well, things have changed a little bit. Are you familiar with those Lego things? All right. Some of the little guys got those Legos in their stocking, and Mama will put them in there for them, you know. And as soon as they saw them, man, grab those things and pow, and pieces go flying everywhere. They're that big. They're that big, folks. And you sit there and look at that and say, how can you even see that, much less put that thing together? You know? How do you even see that? And yet they can sit down, and many times without even the instructions, without any direction at all, just sit down and start. I guess if you've done it a few times, you just, you know, it's same principle every time, and there it is. And they've got it together. You know, things sure have changed, haven't they? Now, we would just add a log here and a log there and then crisscross them, and it was simple. But today, it's a little bit more complicated. But somebody said that kids today are a whole lot smarter than what we were when we were kids. And I kind of tend to agree with that in many areas. Of course, there's some areas where that's not true. But anyway, I want to speak to you this morning on adding to your faith. And you see, it's just like building with Lincoln logs. It's just like building the Lego set. You just keep adding the pieces until you get a building, or you get a creature, or you get a figure, and you just keep adding until you get the desired result. And I think that one of the biggest problems that we are dealing with today in our in the Christian circle and in the church, one of the greatest problems that we're dealing with is this matter of believers adding to their faith. Now, let me ask you a question. How did you get into the faith? You got there by faith, right? I mean, it's pretty clear that the Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. That's how you and I got saved. That's how we got in to the, as Peter says here, that's how we got in to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 11. That's how we got into the kingdom, is by faith. We heard the gospel. we heard the preacher, or we heard the soul winner, or we heard the evangelist, and we realized that we were sinners, and we realized that we could not save ourselves, and so by faith, we put our salvation in the hands of the Lord. We trusted the Lord Jesus for our salvation. Now, folks, now that we're saved, all right, and on that foundation that we are now standing on, Peter says we are to add to our faith. And that is something that is a daily responsibility for every single child of God. That's why, folks, I encourage you so much throughout the year and throughout the years. I have challenged you so much to be faithful to church. Why? So you can add to your faith. I encourage you to read your Bible every day. Why? So you can add to your faith. Several years ago, I was preaching in a church down in the Georgia, in the state of Georgia, in the Atlanta area. And there were several preachers. We were all sitting around the lunch table at the church after the Tuesday morning service. And we started talking, and there was a fellow sitting beside of me. And I knew that he was good friends with a fellow that I was a good friend to. This mutual friend of ours had resigned his church, and so I looked over at this friend, and I said, "Why did he leave?" And his friend looked at me, and here's what he said: "It just shocked me to the core." But here's what he said: He said, "Well, he got to the place where he could do it without God." Isn't that something? He got to the place where he could do it without God. In other words, the ministry had become so easy for him. I mean, the studying, the sermon, putting the sermons together, all that, it just got so easy that he didn't depend upon God anymore. He was just relying upon his own mental acuity and his own ability. He was relying upon himself. And that was his problem. And to this day, he has not pastored another church. And he had a great church down in the area. And folks, listen, I'm afraid that it's real easy for all of us to get in that condition. You see, we get to the place where we can live and be a Christian without God. And that's how we... A lot of people view the Christian life. You will say to them, "Well, do you know the Lord is your Savior?" "Well, yeah, I got saved back in 1967. "Well, where do you go to church?" "Well, I don't go anywhere right now." "What? You don't go anywhere? Well, we got hurt." "Well, bless your heart." You know, folks, if I quit every time I got hurt, I would have quit in 1978. I'll be honest with you. If I quit every time I got offended. But you can't do that. You say, "Well, how do you keep going, preacher?" Right here. You have got to get yourself in the Word of God so that you can add to that foundation of faith in God that you are to build on. So you add to your faith. And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Now, there's just a couple of two or three things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to look with me at the basic foundation. The basic foundation. What is our responsibility? You see, we are now saved. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what now that we're redeemed, what now is our responsibility? All right, look carefully at verse 5. And verse 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, it ought to be something that you just dedicate yourself to. Something that you just purpose that you're going to do. Something that is the motivating, driving factor for you every single day. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Folks, that is what we are supposed to do now that we're saved. You got saved by faith, and now Peter is saying you and I are to live by faith. You see, again, one of the sub-themes of the Bible is the just shall live by faith. Four times in the Bible, once in the Old Testament and three times in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that we are to live by faith. The just. It doesn't mean the good man or the good person or the just person. No, the justified person. The person who is justified, who is born again and knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, that or her Savior, that person is to add to their faith. And that's our biggest problem, folks. We see too many who just don't do that. You know, especially today. I remember years ago when I first started in the ministry, you could lead somebody to Christ, and it was almost a guaranteed fact that on Sunday they were going to be in church, and they were going to walk down the aisle, and they were going to make a public profession of their faith, and then they were going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and they were going to join the church and, you know, start growing. But boy, today, you lead them to Christ, and then they disappear. And then you find out, oh, well, they're down at the jail. You got to go bail them out of jail to baptize them. It's a beatenous thing. But that's our world today. And Pastor Stainer used to say all the time, I wish I could just put a rope around these people and drag them to church. It would just help them so much if they would come and grow as a Christian. They put faith in the Lord. You say, well, I wonder if they were really saved. Well, you know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. And so if you call upon the name of the Lord, I mean, if you're standing there and somebody is presenting the gospel to you and then they invite you to pray and you sincerely pray, I mean, nobody twisted your arm, nobody put a gun to your head, nobody forced you, but you simply bowed your head and prayed and received Christ as your Savior, I have to take it from the Word of God that you're saved. Amen? I mean, that's just the way I look at it. I'm not going to sit back and judge and say, well, he got it, but she didn't. Well, he got it, she got it, but I don't think that one back there got it. And then that one, he got it. That one definitely didn't get it. I'm pointing at you, yes. I'm pointing at you. I'm going to stop because I don't even want to get back to you. You see the point, folks? I can't sit around judge and say who is saved and who's not. I can inspect some fruit, though. You know, I can be a fruit inspector. And most of the time when you see no fruit, there's no root. So we need to add to our faith, folks. I mean, we need to decide whose team we're on. And so what is faith? Well, faith is simply trusting. It is trust. That's what faith is. We serve the Lord by trusting Him. We got saved by trusting Him, and now we serve the Lord by trusting Him. You know, we're so worried about all the things that go on around us, and we look at our world and we say, boy, you know, if this world doesn't change, well, wait a minute, folks. We don't live by circumstances. We live by faith. You know, you say, Pastor, if they don't get this election thing straightened out. Well, listen, folks, I hope they do get this election thing straightened out. You know I hope they do. But if they don't get it straightened out, we're just going to trust the Lord. You know, I mean, my salvation and my road to heaven is not dependent upon who is in the White House. Now, I'm going to do all I can to get the right man in the White House, but my salvation is not dependent upon that. That's not where my faith is put. My faith is put in Christ. We don't live by the media. We live by faith. And I've heard preachers say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do if our attendance doesn't pick up. But folks, wait a minute. We don't live by how big the church is. We live by faith. We are to trust the Lord for our increase. We are to trust God for souls and for offerings and for fruit and for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm just simply saying that the foundation of the Christian life is faith in the Lord Jesus. So don't get off the foundation. Don't get away from the foundation. And realize that all that God expects of us is to gradually, over the time, over our Christian life, add to our faith. Now, this addition, folks, this is a daily process. And it never ends. Never ends. And what happens, though, is what happened to this preacher that I was telling you about. He got to the place where he thought he could do it without God. And I think that's what happens to us. I think many times we become professional Christians. You know, we know the lingo. And we know where to go in the Bible. And a lot of times, I'll be standing up here and under normal circumstances. I'll be standing up here and looking around and I'll see somebody come in and they were here 20 years ago. They were here 20 years ago and on fire for God 20 years ago. But then one little thing happened. They got a hold of one little disgruntled church member. One disgruntled, that's all it takes. And boy, they got poisoned. And then they quit. And now disaster has struck their family. And here they come back to church. Pastor, could you pray for me and my family? Sure. Sure. I'll be glad to. But folks, listen, God's not a Kmart blue light special. All right? Let's add to our faith. And if you keep adding to your faith, then when disaster strikes your family, you can handle it. You have the strength to get through that crisis. And that's why we're to add to the faith. This addition is a seeming paradox. Verse 3 says, God has given us all things. precious faith, divine power, exceeding precious promises, and a divine nature, and has taken us out of this corrupt world. And you may say, well, God has done it all for me, so what do I have to do? Well, folks, listen, he has. But then, notice in verse 5, he turns right around after telling you that he has done all of this for you and says to us, I've done it all, but wait a minute, you got to do your part. I'm not going to do it all, everything for you and then you can just sit back. No, I'm going to give you all of these things to help you and assist you. I'm going to give you that new nature. I'm going to give you divine promises from God. They're all over this book. But the reason we don't know anything about the promises is because we don't read the book. Years ago when I was in college, I had a roommate, and I can't remember now how he got onto this, but he showed me how he got a thing of colored pencils. All right, there was a green, there was a gold, there was a red, there was a purple, and there was an orange, and all of these were. They had a doctrine connected to them, all right? Like red, of course, was anything connected to the doctrine of salvation. And then green was anything connected to growth, to sanctification, all right? So you had orange, that was prophecy, and it just went on and on. And so there was the gold pencil, and that gold pencil was for golden promises that you find in the Bible. And so I sat down and I said, wow, I'm going to read through the Bible and I'm going to mark this Bible. And I did. I marked up the Bible with those pencils. Read it from generations to revolutions. I mean, start to finish. Amen. And when I got through with it, I looked down and I was using that Bible to preach out of at the time. And so I would open that Bible up and I noticed gold everywhere on those pages. Everywhere you look, there was a gold verse in that Bible. Well, what does that mean? That means that this book is filled with promises from God Almighty. And so now, we're on the foundation, we're on the right foundation, and now God says, hey, I've given you all of this, but you've got to appropriate it. You've got to live in it. You've got to love it. You've got to apply it. Just get in your Bible and learn how to live for me. You add to your faith. All right, now very quickly, I showed you the basic foundation, but now secondly, let's look at the building blocks. All right, what are the building blocks? Well, he says that we are to add to our faith virtue. Virtue. Virtue means rightness. It means excellence. We are to add a righteousness. Here's a good definition. The proper fulfillment of a thing. You know, the best thing a knife can do is cut, right? The best thing a racehorse can do is run. And the best thing a Christian can do is be like Jesus. That's adding virtue. Secondly, he says knowledge. Knowledge. This is the word that just... It just simply means practical understanding, just practical learning. And you add the excellence and the rightness, the virtue, and then you add the ability to apply what you have learned or what you get from your Bible It's just the ability to apply. That's the knowledge that is referenced here. The word is a word that according to what I read about it, that says practical wisdom. You know, where you just know innately, you know how to respond to something. Then thirdly, temperance. And this is just plain old self-control. You hear people say all the time, well, I tried to quit drinking, but I just couldn't. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Well, I tried to quit this or I tried to quit that, but I just couldn't. Well, you need to add to your faith. You know why? Because it's only the third thing. It's not like it's at the bottom of the list. Okay? You add temperance. Well, how do you do that? You get temperance by knowing the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God will enable you and help you to get a control of yourself. Temperance. I mean, this is exactly why you see folks get away from the Lord, because they don't have self-control. That's temperance. And then fourthly, you'll notice patience. Oh my, how we need this. Patience with one another. Patience with the church. Patience with people. Patience with pastors. Patience with the person sitting across from you. Patience with husband and wife. Patience with parents and children. I mean, we just need patience. You say, well, how do I learn patience? Add to your faith patience by getting in the Word. You'll add to your faith. Then next is godliness. And this just simply means having a God-like attitude, a God-like view of things. And then next is brotherly kindness. This word is interesting. It is a word that simply means friendship. It just means being a friend. I see people come to church and they hear the sermon and they hear the choir and then they get up and leave and they never make any friendships. And then they'll say, when you talk to them, you go visit them and say, hey, I've been missing you. Well, nobody's friendly in that church. What do you mean nobody's friendly? It's the friendliest church around here. You know, in order for you to be a friend, you have to have friends, you first have to be a friend. You know? And you can't come in here looking like you're mad at the world and ready to blow the place up and then dare people to approach you. No, come in with a smile on your face. And our folks ought to run to the visitors. I mean, if you see somebody that you don't recognize, run to them and say, hey, are you new here or have you been coming a while? Because truth of the matter is, we all have our assigned seats. And somebody who sits over here may not recognize somebody that sits over here or up there. And you folks that sit up there, you may not recognize the folks that sit down here. And so you down in the hallway, you might see somebody and you'll say, well, I don't know who that is. Well, just introduce yourself to them. They're not going to kick you in the shins for saying hi. You know? Brotherly kindness. Folks, listen, you can't give away kindness. You can't give it away. It always comes back to you. And so let's be kind to one another. Let's be kind to one another. I probably shouldn't tell you all this. I was preaching in a revival meeting several years ago now, and I was standing here in this seat. The pastor was here in that seat, and we were singing, and the building was packed. packed, packed, packed. The only seats were a couple of empty seats on the front rows. And this family came in, and the man, somebody was in his seat. You know, his assigned seat. He didn't get there in time. And when he came down and saw somebody was in his seat, countenance changed. And the pastor was standing here, and the pastor said, "Watch him. He's going to throw a fit." I said, "What? That guy in the aisle, watch him. He's going to throw a fit." And his wife turned around, and he was standing in the aisle looking over at his seat longingly. Now, I don't know what he was going to do, but he was longingly looking over at his seat that was occupied. And finally, his wife, who had taken more steps this way, she saw the front row was open. She was going to come down and sit on the front row. She turned around. He's halfway back, hands on his hips, looking at his seat. And she went back and she grabbed him by the arm and she pulled him down the aisle. And that pastor leaned over to me and he said, "You know, there's some sheep that you just can't stand to smell them." And I was shocked. I was shocked. Folks, listen, sometimes you get on my nerves, but the majority of the time, I never look at you like that. I would never look at you like that. I was shocked. And I said, "Brother, how could you say that about your people?" And here's what he said: "You don't know them." I said, "But let me tell you, I got a whole church full too. One in particular. And we've got to love one another, folks. It's just that simple. Brotherly kindness. Be ye kind one to another," the Bible says. And then we're to add to our faith love. Love. Charity. Bible love. The character of love. Paul said, "Now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Oh, how we need to learn to love one another. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do I add love? I mean, so-and-so just drives me crazy." Well, here's how you do it. You read your Bible and add to your faith. And as you're adding to your faith, you're going to be praying. And as you're praying, here's what you pray. Every day you ought to pray this: "Father, give me a loving heart." All right? Where does love come from? "For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." 1 John. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Read it. And so we ought to love one another, folks. Just love one another. I mean, preachers need to learn to love their people, and the people need to learn to love their pastor, and they need to learn to love one another. Folks, in God's family, it's not us against them. Never. We're to love one another. We're to add love to our faith. And then what's the blessing? Well, the blessing is fruitfulness. That's the blessing. Look at your Bible, folks. Look at your Bible. It says that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's fruitfulness. That's where you want to be, Christian. That's where you want to be, right there. Adding to your faith and fruitful. And you do it today, you'll do it tomorrow, you'll do it Tuesday, you'll do it Wednesday. Just keep adding to your faith. I made up my mind years and years ago. I made up my mind that I was going to try and learn something new every day. I have not always done that, especially on vacation. I said one time I was taking a vacation, and this Pharisee said, "Well, God never takes a vacation." And I said, "I'm not taking a vacation from God." Fill in the blanks. That wasn't here, by the way. That was at Dixie, when I was at Dixie. But he didn't like anything, so that was all right. But then notice the word barren. Ye will not be barren. I wonder how many barren Christians we have in our churches. Wonder how many barren Christians we have in our churches. The word barren is an interesting word. And just ask yourself, how barren can a Christian become? How barren? Well, turn back for just a moment to the book of James. James chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Well, let's go back to 19. Thou believest that there is one God. James chapter 2, verse 19. All right. Thou believest, 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So in other words, the devils believe that. Duh. You know. Then look at the next verse. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's how barren a Christian can be. You know, a dead person doesn't do anything. They don't talk. They don't walk. They don't eat. They're dead. And so, how barren can a Christian be? Well, the same word that God uses to speak of the deadness of an unbeliever is the exact same word that he uses here to describe an unproductive saint. An unproductive saint is of no more use to God than an unbeliever. Think about that. That's a sobering thought, is it not? All right, now listen, folks, adding. Let me ask you a question and I'll close. Would you make up your mind that in 2021, you're going to daily add to your faith? Would you just make your mind up? I mean, all these years that you've been a Christian, all these years that you've been saved, would you just make up your mind that right now, at the beginning of 2021, that you're going to add to your faith? You're saved. You're on the foundation. But would you make up your mind right now that you're going to add to your faith? That's what I'm asking you to do. I think if every member of the Church of the Open Door would just make up their mind like Daniel did. He purposed in his heart. If we would just make up our minds, man, what a difference it would make. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around for just a moment. Let me ask you a couple of personal questions here. How many of you here this morning will say, "Preacher, I needed that challenge. I need to add to my faith. I know I'm saved. Now I need to add to my faith. And I want to. I'm going to purpose today that in 2021, I'm going to add to my faith. I'm going to get that virtue and that knowledge and that temperance and that patience. I'm going to get those things in my Christian life. I'm going to get that compassionate, kind heart. I'm going to get a loving heart. And I'm going to grow and add these things to my faith. I want to be like Christ. If you'll say that, would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? Amen. Wow, that's great. That's just wonderful. Thank you so much. Amen. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. Now, folks, if we do that, oh, what a difference it'll make. Let me ask one more question. Maybe there's someone here today, and you say, "Preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I wish you'd pray for me." Would you lift your hand? Let me pray and ask God to help you. Would you just lift your hand and hold it up? "Pastor, I'm just not sure. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Anyone like that? All right. Father, thank you now for our time together this morning, and I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. I want to pray for all these folks who raised their hand this morning. And Father, if every person who raised their hand this morning will make that decision and stick with it and add to their faith this year, oh my, what a difference it will make in eternity, and what a difference it'll make here in time. So Father, bless these folks, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.